You're listening to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. I am your host, Erica Russo, psychic medium and intuitive development coach. This show is all about giving you the conversations, tools, and wisdom you need to live life the intuitive way. Whether you are waking up, wanting to develop your intuition and connection to spirit, or wanting to live a more magical life, I got you covered. I give you grounded, practical, and insightful content that helps you wake up, level up, and connect with your soul. I'm excited you are here. Let's wake up together. Hey guys, welcome to the Intuitive Souls Podcast. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. I'm really excited that you are here. If you are an OG and you've been listening for a while, you've been taking these conversations, these tools, these tips, these tricks, and bringing them into your life to create a magical, inspirational, intentional, intuitive life for yourself, I am so fucking proud of you. You are killing it. Don't give up. Keep shining your light. Keep learning. Keep growing. Keep expanding. You're making this world a better place. I promise you that. If this podcast is helping you, if it's giving you the weekly dose of inspiration or maybe just kind of the kick in the ass that you need, whatever it is, if you can head on over to iTunes and write a review, those reviews allow me to get this podcast out there. It allows me to get these tools, these tips, these tricks, these exercises to the people that might need it. And I think now more than ever, these conversations and the things that I am sharing can really help a lot of people. So if you want to go ahead and do that for me, I fucking love you for doing that. But make sure you take a picture or a screenshot and send it to me at hello@ericarusso.co. No M. And I am going to intuitively choose something, whether that is a PDF or a guided meditation or whatever it is. I'm going to send it back to you as a thank you for taking the time out of your day to do that, to support my small business and this podcast. It really does help. So with that being said, I am working behind the scenes like a maniac for the relaunch of my monthly membership. You have heard me speak about the Modern Mystic Society, but it's changing. I am making it fucking amazing. I am bringing on a lot of people to do monthly classes. I don't want to get too into it. I kind of want to make it a huge ass surprise. So I am working really hard behind the scenes doing that. So with that being said, I felt it was time to share a conversation I had last year with a very dear, close, personal, amazing, magical, intuitive friend of mine, Meg Vanderkruik from This Mess Is Ours. She is absolutely amazing. I get to hang out with her each and every week, and she's so intuitive and so in flow with the universe. Sometimes she'll say things that I'm just like so blown away by, and she has such great insight and such great... She's just such a good person. Like I can't get over some of the stuff that she is able to bring to the table as far as like spiritual wisdom is concerned. She really is one of a kind. And we had a conversation last year, and I love the conversation, and I wanted to reshare it because it brings so much value and so much knowledge. And she may or may be one of the new teachers in my membership come August. But you know, that's neither here or there. So I hope you guys enjoy this incredible conversation I have with one of my closest soul friends. And I will see you next week, or you'll see me next week because I'm going to be busy working. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoy this. I hope the message or the wisdom that's within this conversation gets to the person that needs to hear it. I love you guys. Have a wonderful week. And remember, stay intentional, stay in your intuition. Love you guys.
You guys, It's been a long time coming for this one. I've been wanting Meg to come on the show for a while now, and I finally got her beautiful soul on the show. Meg, from the This Mess Is Ours, thank you for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so flattered. I'm really excited. I've never been on another podcast. I mean, it's crazy.
I know.
Been in the creative online space for almost 9 years this month, and never said yes to a podcast invitation.
Because you were waiting for me.
I was waiting for you. I think, you know, I just, the message had to be worth it for me to put myself out there in this format, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's a good message.
Things, not really that
important. Right. Absolutely. No, I totally get it. So Meg and I worked together. She was one of the amazing students of the Align Light Academy. And I was looking at her Instagram feed once, and I saw that she used the hashtag choose what you consume. And I just was so fixated on it for so long. And I was like, choose what you consume. That is so powerful and so simple. And I remember saying to you, I was like, I love that. And you said, so tell the story of how it really came to be.
Well, it's a lifelong journey how it came to be. I mean, you know me very intimately. That journey led me to you when I was just really desperately searching something and trying to figure out what was happening in my own personal life. But I think about 3 years ago, it really started developing like the true message of choose what you consume. I had a foot surgery, and this particular foot surgery was elective when I would do it. I was told like 7 years prior I would have to do it. There would be a 90-day downtime that was, you know, mandatory. And in 2017, I was just like, I'm 39 and I really feel like this is the year of me. And I even told my chiropractor, who I'd been going to for years. He was like my dad and my therapist and my chiropractor all together, you know? And so he would adjust me and I would like bare my soul. And I was like, you know what? I am going to do all the things this 39th year that like is, I'm going to fix all the things that are wrong. And he was like, well, what do you mean? I was like, I'm going to fix my foot and I'm going to look into like whatever's happening with my teeth and I'm adopted. And so maybe I'm going to find my biological family and I'm going to do all these things before I hit 40. And it's just, it's the year of me. Yeah. And he looked at me and he was like, huh, be really careful what you ask for. Right. And I just kind of was like, well, who pissed in your Cheerios? I just told you that I was going to work on me in a non like self-centered way. I was going to try to be better, do better. And you're just like, hey, you might want to rethink that. And of course I, true to myself, I did not. I went, just like made an appointment.
Right.
I also, before this, I'd been blogging for years under the name Bearded Bonnet. And so I went through a major 2 year long process to rebrand to This Mess Is Ours, build a new website. And I decided I'm going to have this foot surgery that confines me to bed for 90 days. And I'm going to launch this new brand at the same time within a week of each other. and it's all going to be fine. And really what happened was I entered myself into the deepest, darkest, like soul searching journey I have ever been on. Mm-hmm. And you know, here we are in 2020 and I look back and it's like all the answers that I have come to are so simple.
Yeah.
Like really so simple. I went like roundabout in the most difficult ways to get to the answers that I'm searching for 40 years, 41 now. And I'm just like, it's like, it's easy.
It's simple.
Have the power. Like I was really angry. I was really mad at myself. I was hurting in a lot of ways, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. And really it was just because I was feeding myself things like, yes, food, but I was also feeding myself certain types of media and certain television shows and certain musical genres and things that really affected me in a way that I didn't realize. And I kind of took on parts of them. And I never really asked myself how I felt about those things. And I really never realized that it was just like eating. I was putting them in my body. I was putting them in my mind and my heart. And inevitably, they touched my soul. And one day I was through the Limelight Academy with you. I had never meditated before, and you made us do 6 weeks of meditating every day. And you and so there's no way, like, one reason I did it was because of that check-in. There was no way for me to go, I'm not gonna do that part that's uncomfortable.
Right.
And towards the end, I had this one meditation. It was so funny because it was like a 10-minute meditation. It was so easy. And I was in the bathtub of all places, because I have kids, and that's where in a quarantine I can be alone, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And in that meditation, my grandparents came to me, and they rose up out, all my ancestors rose up out of the water of this pond that we live on. If you go to my Instagram, you see a picture of the pond that we live on now.
I know, I'm obsessed with it.
This place came to be is crazy too. It's, I mean, even like our friends that are skeptics was like, that was just weird. Like, I knew when I saw this place, I was like, I'm supposed to live there. I have to be there. Anyway, in this meditation, I was here in this space, and the guided meditation was supposed to take me somewhere else, but I was here, and it felt real, and it smelt like here outside, and I could see all my ancestors, people I knew and didn't know, like come up as like beings from the pond. And they walked me, and they all surrounded me. And my grandmother took a blindfold off from over my eyes. She reached up and untied the blindfold. And it wasn't that I couldn't see before. It was that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And as soon as that happened, it was just like all the things that I've been trying to like piece together and answer all these questions I'd had all these years, just, I started hearing her. And it was like, every time I turned on the TV, it was like, you need to choose what you consume. Are you willing to put this in your heart?
Oh, that is just, I'm getting teary eyed.
Well, I'm crying, and now my mascara's in my eye.
I put on makeup today. But I just knew as soon as I saw it, because there's other hashtags like, you know, with this, but as soon as I said, choose what you consume, I was like, there's some power in that.
Oh, you know, and it really, I did kind of silently, and it was towards the beginning of the pandemic, and I just had to create a space for myself online. You know, my job is in the online space. I create content for a living. You know, I consume other people's content for a living. And I was like, there is no like feed or scroll or account that I can go to that just makes me feel okay.
Yeah.
It makes me feel like I can scroll all the way through it, and there's nothing there that is going to darken my heart or my soul.
Right.
And so really it was for me, but it's been amazing to me, the people that have picked it up. Like, it's still very small in the scheme of hashtags, but the people that have picked up and have messaged me about it, like, I think it's just an aha moment for people.
Yeah.
Yeah, the food you eat matters. Yeah, the lotion you put on your skin matters. But yeah, the things you're like willing to stare at a screen and watch all day, like, you consume more of that. You can
exactly
see your ears than you do food.
Exactly.
Sure.
It's, it is. And I think you, and the funny thing is that when I saw that hashtag, that opened something within me up, you know, when you're in the online space and in the, you're a spiritual entrepreneur and stuff like that, you're human. I'm human. And I have watched myself follow other people that are in my realm, so to speak, right? With hundreds more, like hundreds of thousands of followers and beautiful pictures and beautiful quotes and beautiful graphics and everything like that. And I noticed that even as positive as it was, I noticed that my own shadow, I judged myself. Mm-hmm. Oh. Even I could be looking at someone who I love their content. I absolutely adore their content. I love their messaging and everything like that. But I noticed that within myself, I would get irritated. And I was like, why is this triggering me? This is a beautiful post.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I realized for me, I had to really choose what I consume.
Right.
You know, and I
really- was not to interrupt the deer.
No, don't. No, it's just.
I was going to say, when I went into that 90 days worth of bed rest, which actually for me turned into 6 months. It was 6 months, not constant bed rest, but 6 months where I couldn't drive a car and I couldn't, you know, I constantly had a boot or a cast or something people had to do for me. I mean, my poor husband, the things he had to do, we won't talk about it. But that 6 months, I spent doing nothing but consuming.
Yeah.
All day. And a lot of it, I mean, unfortunately, because it was bone surgery, you know, a lot of it was in a stupor that I lost weeks on end. My husband was like, do you know you ate eggs in a hole for 9 days, 3 meals a day? And I was like, I swear I ate it once. Like, what?
Right.
So who knows where my brain went?
Right.
When I came back to myself and I was trying to not only like physically heal, but I was trying to like, I come back from 90 plus days of really being in my head by myself with my ego, with the lights out and screens are on. I'm scrolling, but I'm not coherent. Like I obviously didn't even remember I ate the same meal 9 days in a row, 3 meals a day.
Right. And I think that's how we all feel with Corona. Honestly.
Seriously. Like, I feel like, you know, you had asked me, you were like, I really want to know like, what the inspiration behind Choose What You Consume was. And the inspiration was I spent 3 years coming out of the darkest hole of my life. And I realized a lot of that hole was self-inflicted.
Mm.
And it was what I was watching and listening to.
Yeah.
And the thoughts that triggered me, not maybe even by like, you know, I'm sure the person on the other side of the screen didn't mean to trigger me.
Right.
But it did. And I had to deal with every single demon that I've had for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it came, I mean, it came. I have spent the last 3 years battling health issues that have stemmed from that initial surgery. I, along the same period of time, we lived in California and we had 10 years worth of rain. We were in 10-year drought. I don't know if you remember this, but California went through this 10-year drought. Mm-hmm. In a period of 3 days, we received 10 years worth of rain. This was 2 weeks after my surgery, my first full day at home by myself.
Jesus.
And, you know, my husband's at work and all of a sudden I just hear faucets running. And I like pull myself out of the bed and I like army crawl out into the hallway to realize like our entire structure of our house is pouring water.
Wow.
Like pouring water in buckets. And so it took a week or more because there was so much property damage in California due to the storm for somebody to come out and inspect. And in that period of time, as I'm still confined to bed, black mold had grown in the home. And it, I don't know if you know anything about black molds, but it grows in the walls first. And then where it comes out, you actually can't see it. So it comes out like under the baseboards and behind furniture. Yeah. So I'm laying in bed with the headboard next to a wall where black mold.
Right near black mold.
Everyone else leaves the house during the day but me, right?
Oh my God.
So all these secondary health issues started coming up and it was like, all of a sudden my body was producing mass amounts of scar tissue that needed surgery. All of a sudden I had sinus disease and they wanted to like do surgery in my brain. And all of a sudden I developed food allergies and all these things. And it was like, until we left California, we decided like things were just really hard and my husband got a job offer back here on the East Coast, which is where I'm from. And we just kind of really like searched our hearts and we're like, this feels like the right move. And until I left that space and I left that house and I left that bed in that place, so to speak, the real healing didn't start for me, you know? And then being here back in this place where we know some people, but not a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was more time alone.
By yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. And also because, you know, like I'm in food blogger. I developed allergies to literally almost everything. Like 2 years, a year and a half ago, I couldn't eat corn, rice, dairy, gluten, fish, soy, like any of them would trigger like an autoimmune flare. And I went to the, you know, I'd go to the hospital, we would take me to the ER and it was just like constant. I was like, what the hell? Like food is my thing. It's my one escape. It's my outlet. It's my passion. And I can't even do that.
Yeah.
And in that really dark, desolate, depressing state, there was this morning that I got up out of bed and everybody was gone. The kids were at school and my husband was at work. And I sat down on the floor with my dog and I just kind of cried out loud. It's like, I'm not a prayer. I don't pray. I don't, you know, we haven't talked in years. I don't talk like to anybody. I kind of like, you know, put a wall up there, but I'm just going to say, okay,
yeah.
Maybe I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe I've square pegged and round holed my way through the past like 10 years of my life. And I really just need to listen.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Quit really? Trying to direct it. And, yeah. And as soon as I did that, literally there was a peace that came over me that day.
Yeah.
And it started like that. And it was just like little downloads along the way that were just as simple as like the choose what you consume, but ultimately led to that, right? It was like answers to questions that I had spent years of my life like toiling over about myself. Where do I come from? I'm adopted. What happened to me? Like, where do I belong? Why don't I feel that space of home that other people talk about? Like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And those, all those answers just came flooding. And
because you chose to listen instead of ask.
Yeah. I quit like doing what all the things that I was watching was telling and consuming was telling me I needed to do.
Yeah.
And I just unplugged. I got really, really quiet, which I think is happening now for a lot of people.
I hope so.
Like, I feel like that was for myself. Like, and you know, it was wild to me when coronavirus hit and people were coming to me and they're like, how are you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I'm okay. I've been doing this for 3 years. I mean, with chronic health issues, you social distance all the time. That's your life. You know, I mean, I can't even imagine my little nephew has leukemia. And so their amount of social distancing for the past 2 years has been far more than ours.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was just shocking to me because I was like, oh, man, where would I have been had this journey not happened to me when it did? Because pre that surgery, I was one of those people that was just like, go, 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 go. I'll sleep when I die. Like, you know, like always be on top of it. What's the next trend? What's coming next? What are we doing next? Where are we going?
Right.
And that's just,
yeah,
that had to stop to heal, you know?
Yeah. And it's as soon as you said, like, as soon as you were saying, like, you just went onto the floor with your dog and started crying, like that brought up something that happened to me a couple of years ago when I was going through my spiritual awakening and just questioning everything. All of my relationships, all of the choices that I made, everything about my life. I felt so detached from my current reality that I didn't sleep the night before. I was just, I just felt numb.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I just felt numb. It wasn't like I was overthinking or anything along those lines, but I remember being awake at 3 o'clock in the morning and just being like, what is going on with my life? What am I doing? Like, I don't think this is depression. I don't think this is anxiety, but I can't sleep.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember putting the kids on the bus at 8 a.m. and then coming home and going and just dropping to the floor and crying like a freaking baby.
Yeah. And suddenly cry, girl.
I just cried. I didn't know what else to do. You know what I mean? Like, I was already meditating because this was just when I started meditating, but I just realized that it was like I was still holding on to that thing of like, I need to do this and I need to do this and I need to get my kids these Nike shoes because everybody else is getting them their Nike shoes and I have to, you know,
it's that surrender,
right?
Right, that it's the last little bit, and I heard people talk about like surrendering to something before. And God knows, I mean, I had substance abuse issues when I was a young adult. I have a lot of personal issues, you know, I, you know, whatever, but surrendering was the hardest thing I ever had to do because it was so freaking easy. Like, right? It's just like, oh, that's what it is.
Right.
Right?
It's so hard. It's so hard.
Yeah, and we're programmed that way. And like, you know, the media is programmed us that way. And influencers, hey, here, if anybody doesn't know this, let me be the first to tell you. We work off of algorithms. We program you that way, right? Like, in a way, we do. It's like, I am so aware because I choose what I consume that also the content I put out is being consumed by other people. And because I am more... have surrendered and woken up more, as have you. I think it's made me a more conscious
of what we're sharing.
Yeah. Like for me, it's not just, oh, I'm sharing food.
Right.
I'm sharing the stories of our life. I'm documenting my children's childhood. I am documenting like the sides of motherhood that I don't think I would have ever shared before. Our daughter just graduated high school in a pandemic. She was born, you know, two months after September 11th, all her monumental milestones have been like these huge things. And, you know, we're documenting it for the world to see. We documented her leaving home to start her career in a pandemic. Right. I'm very aware of how what I'm putting out there triggers other people. And I just always want to be a positive trigger.
Right. Yeah. That's just the thing. And that's, oh God, we're talking about all those topics that we have to talk about. Triggers and surrendering and something like oh my well, God, that's so funny.
I would say that triggers and surrendering and searching your soul and coming to these conclusions for yourself. It's not just about, you know, intuitive people or empathic people or spiritual people. I mean, this is
everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's so funny because it's like, I think a lot of the times I will say things on my social media that might be a little polarizing. And I know that. And it can really trigger people. Like it really can. Like some of the things that I say, and I'm aware of that. But I always say that it's like I always come from a place of love. Right. I never come. I don't bash people. I always try to just keep, I speak my truth. Regardless if you like it or not. And if it triggers something within you, you have to remember that it's not about me.
Right.
It's not about me. You might not like how I say it or how I word it or how I share it. It's something within you.
Yeah. It's like you're, as in they are triggered. You are not triggering.
Right.
I totally understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even in my efforts to like, I look at everything under a million microscopes. I mean, that's why now I used to post every day, all day long, 3 blog posts a week, a million Pinterest posts, a million Instagram posts, stories. And now it's like, sometimes I'll go a week because I'm like, there's just, I mean,
right.
I have to contribute that's positive.
Right.
That, you know, leaves behind the legacy that I want to leave behind. And right now I just, sometimes I don't want to contribute to the noise.
Yeah.
You know, and triggering other people, like I trigger people over food.
Right.
You know, with all everything going on in the world now, it's like in the food blogger space, you know, it's become very important that if you have recipes on your website that relate back to certain cultural or, you know, you know, certain culture or whatever, that you should call that out. I mean, that was for years. It was like, if you were making a collard green recipe, you were just making the collard green recipe. But now, like, let's talk about where that came from. I mean, even in food, there's this like kind of reckoning happening all over the world. Yeah. And I love it, but also I have to choose when I'm going to be a part of it.
Yes.
For my own self and sanity. I'm a mom first and foremost, like a mom and a wife, and my husband, bless his soul. I mean, he is my soulmate. I know that. I have known that since the moment we breathe the same air. I knew, you know, and I'm blessed to have them. But outside of that, like I look at everything through those two microscopes of like, if they see it, are they going to be proud of me? And are they going to be, am I okay with them taking this message away? And then outside of that, I try not to worry about triggering other people, but I still do.
Right.
And all I do is food. I can't imagine being in your space, because the spiritual space, I imagine, is people can get pretty triggered.
Yeah. I mean, they really do get triggered. And I've just realized that it's like, I just hope that people understand that just because you get triggered by someone doesn't mean that they're a bad person.
Yeah. It
means that they hit on something that hurts.
Yeah.
That's it. You know, and
is across all boards, right? Yeah. I mean, there's diversity in everything, and there's diversity in how we were all raised and our belief systems, and there's diversity in our hearts and our souls and what is important to each of us. And that should be celebrated. And that being said, if you're out there speaking your truth it in a way that makes others feel bad, you're not really getting your message across. But I think if you're coming from this place of really choosing wisely what you put out and good intentions, I think that you should absolutely share
what's
in your heart and in your mind.
Right. You know? And guys, I am so human. It's not even funny. Like, I get triggered, and I've shared on this podcast that I have been triggered before, and it's real. You know what I mean? And I feel like when we get triggered, I think the key is just being aware of that trigger. Don't hold on to the story behind it. Just say, ooh, that feels not so good. Why do I feel this way? Why is it triggering to me? Not, no, you're stupid. You're wrong. No, you're hanging on to that fear mentality. You're not leaning into love. Lean into love, and you'll understand that I've really learned enough from my triggers that it does. It stems from something that happened to me that it's a sore spot.
Yeah. It's something I try to tell my kids is like, as soon as you realize that your response is kind of like, doesn't measure up to whatever, you know, the situation is, mm-hmm. you really should take a step back at that moment, because that is your heart, your soul, your whatever you want to call it, your intuition telling you, hey, this might be more about you than about them.
Right.
But if you then choose to not listen to that little gentle nudging of you going, oh man, I'm about to lose it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose it again, but I'm just going to say it. If you choose not to do that, then you have to reckon with the, I'm sorry I acted that way. I can't believe I lashed out. Maybe you lose a friend. Maybe you don't, whatever. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that little second where you go, why is this why do I feel this way? Or, oh, that's weird. I'm so mad.
Oh my God.
That's your indicator. Like,
it's so funny that our conversation turned this way, because we were just going to talk about choose what you consume. But like, it's so funny you said that, because bless my mother. First off, bless my mother, but she's very reactive over things, extremely reactive. She always has been. And last week I dropped my kids off, and she wanted me to bring a change of clothes because she was going to have them play outside in the water or something like that. And I totally forgot. I was busy. You know, I'm so busy. I have two kids, two dogs. My husband works how many hours a week? I work and everything like that. And I forgot. And I said, I forgot. She, within a second, just blew her load. And I realized it was just like, you've always been like this. You've always been so reactive over things. And how she escalated it to a different level over me forgetting clothes, which, by the way, she's a grandma, so she has all these clothes left over at her house.
Yeah,
and she finds, you know, clean clothes that they can go into after they're wet, after she just flipped her lid on me. And I just realized since then, I was like, God, my mom's always been so reactive. She's never just been able to take that big deep breath that we all should take when that trigger happens, and just take a step back. And
I mean, there's the triggering that we do unintentionally to people that we don't know via our chosen career paths.
Right.
And then, as with anyone, if you are born and raised and lived with someone for any period of time, you can trigger them way easier than you can trigger anybody else.
Oh yeah.
And if you think about it, it's like something you do that's like kind of you reminds them of some time they were deeply hurt. And it's one thing I've learned on my journey. You know, in the beginning, I was seeing all these medical doctors. I mean, we were seeing specialists at Cedar-Sinai, which is like this incredible hospital. They don't insurance. It's $500 a visit. Oh, and we were getting nowhere and going broke in the process. And I had a friend who told me to, that I should go see this functional medicine doctor that she sees, who I love, who I talk about on my Instagram all the time. And she, over the course of the past couple years, has made me realize that, like, a lot of my physical ailments were from emotional trauma that I had stored, that I had, like, swallowed down, that I had never dealt with. And so I now, after a couple years of doing the work and clearing those things and actually having some conversations with people, because I was like, I don't think I can heal if I don't. Like, right? I have gotten to the place where I, like you in that instance with your mom, I'm like, oh, yeah. I was going out of my way to not trigger you.
Right.
Still triggered you.
Right.
Damn it. But I've also come to the conclusion that that's their journey, not mine.
Right.
And I've done a lot of growth if I've gotten to the place where the people that are closest to me, that mean the most to me, that know all my deepest, darkest things, if I can hold back the rise of emotion in a triggered moment with them, I can hold it back with anyone. Exactly. Right? I mean, exactly. And so I feel like, yeah.
Right. It's so true. And it's so simple. It's so simple. Think about it. With all your triggers, and I realized, like, after that happened with my mom, first off, I realized, because when, you know, you don't want your parents to be pissed at you. You know what I mean? You want to be in a good place with the people that are in your life and stuff. And I realized driving back home to my house, I was like, God, just being aware of the situation and that that's my mother's shit that she has to deal with. And it has nothing to do with me being a busy working parent with way too much on my plate. I'm taking this a lot better than I would have 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and that is really, and I had to pat myself on the back, 'cause I was just like, that's spiritual growth spurts right there.
Yes, it is.
Like, it really is. And I just kept on thinking to myself, and it was in my head for a while. It was reactive versus passive. And I don't know why, like, ever since then, I was like, reacting versus being passive, reactive versus passive. And I just, it's so funny that it just turned into us having this conversation about this. 'Cause I was like, how do I have a podcast episode where we talk about being reactive to a trigger?
Mm-hmm.
Or passive to one, and then allowing yourself to take that trigger and turn it into healing.
Yeah. Well, and I think the podcast is a natural progression, and I'll tell you why. Because in the act of going from this deep, dark space, a lot self-inflicted by choosing to go on a heal myself, fix myself journey.
Yeah.
Right. I eventually, my phone just went off. I'm sorry. I'm going to make sure this. Oh my God. How unprofessional is that? I don't know how to.
My phone went off too.
The computer sounds off.
It's fine.
And what's funny is my mom just texted me. So we're talking about moms, and my mom texted me, which. Okay. Anyway. No, I think it's a natural progression. And here's why. Because In the past few years, where I've really brought myself back from a resurgence of depression that I battled with as a teenager and young adult through illness, as I kind of redefined as a mother what I wanted my kids to see in me every day. Like, I chose what I consumed, but then in the same hand, I kind of rearranged how I dealt with triggers. Does that make sense? Like by choosing what I consumed, it wasn't triggered nearly as often.
Yes.
So yep. Therefore, I didn't react nearly as irrationally. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of 15-year-old me that I swallowed down. And yes. My parents will tell you, 15 to 18-year-old Meg, not fun. Not fun at all. Underline all of that, exclamation point. Mm-hmm. So when I'm triggered, and I'm triggered especially by people that I love deeply, 15-year-old me comes out. And through really editing what I take in every day, and curating a life of consumption for myself that is positive and uplifting and still contains all the information, vital information I need to know in the midst of a pandemic, just structured way down to sources I believe in for limited periods of time, I've been able to manage triggers.
Yeah.
And I think prior to the past 5 years, I think most people that knew me really deeply would consider me pretty even keel. But if you hit the right nail on the head, I turn into mama bear. Mm-hmm. And it's automatically going to protect mode. You're not going to go there. You're not going to hurt me. Wall up. You're not going to hurt my kid. Like, boop.
Right.
Nope. But on this journey to kind of change the way I consume the world, triggers are fewer and far between. And I find myself concerned more how I'm going to trigger other people than them triggering me these days.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Which is nice. And it feels like a nice way to live my daily life, especially in the online space in the midst of this crazy world we live in where everybody's just so angry with each other. Conversation flow.
Yeah. I'm just like, no, because it's true. It's true. I think, and I also want to point out, because I think I'm sure someone's like, well, you know, not avoiding triggers isn't the answer. We're not avoiding triggers. We're being cognizant of what we are allowing in our minds, in our bodies, and in our hearts. Well, you have to remember that.
You switch from being, you know, focusing on, you know, how to not be triggered to how to not trigger other people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of healing in that as well for yourself.
Right.
Like that's kind of a selfless act in and of itself.
Yeah.
The first time I ever did that in my own life was when I had a kid. Like I had no blood ties in my life. I was adopted. I love my adoptive family very much, but I didn't know that type of a relationship until she was born. And, you know, it was just like, whoa, you know, yeah, I think I just went way off there, but whatever.
Girl, you're talking to an Aquarius here. Like I am so all over the place. Like,
oh, God. You know, I am a Libra. I'm always trying my own internal.
Right. We're both air signs. So that's how we get an idea and we have to say it.
I've learned that so much more too in the past few years through this physical healing journey, because I found that when I just swallow something, because I really don't want to have that uncomfortable conversation with someone. And you tell me it's someone that's close to me, right? You're like, I just don't have that conversation. right? You're like, I don't have time for that. That's me swallowing it. And what I realized, and really it happened through the Aligned Light Academy, I started realizing that my triggers and my intuition is very physical for me.
Yeah.
So I have a physical reaction to people triggering me that is almost identical
to intuition.
My chronic health issues.
Yeah.
And for years, I kind of like have, you know, up until the past 8-9 months, kind of confused the two. They're very different.
Mm-hmm.
One is an intuitive kind of like, ooh, it was like what we happened right before we started talking, right? It was like, I just had this moment. I was like, oh, I'm just saying this. and I think like, you know, eight months, a year ago, I'm like, I'm not going to say that. But it would bother me for weeks, months. And now I'm just like, here it is. This is what I need to say. I'm going to do it in the most like
loving way possible.
Loving way, trying to avoid your triggers because I want you to hear me.
Right.
But I'm also going to protect myself at the same time.
Right. And that's what you have to remember is I really truly believe like when you are triggered, and if I do trigger you on this podcast, just, you know, because I'm sure I've triggered people because I know that I have my own opinions on things and everything like that, but it's always coming from a place of love. I don't do that shit. I'm not, I don't try to trigger people just to trigger people for the likes and the follows and the views or anything like that. I don't care about that. I just speak my truth because I know that it can help somebody either heal or grow. You know?
And I actually loved that podcast you did where you talked about the person that went to multiple platforms to leave comments and that triggered you. And I love that you do, you know, I don't listen to a ton of podcasts. I'm 41. I don't know if that just means I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It's sometimes I feel old. When people are like, I listen to 75 podcasts. I'm like, how do you
I don't, to be completely honest, I don't listen to that many podcasts either. It gets a little too much.
Oh, well, that's consuming, right?
It is. It's a lot to consume and I'd rather read a book, but I do listen to a couple of podcasts, but I really do just kind of, I'd rather read a book.
Yeah. Well, but when you did that one, I was so proud of you.
Oh, thank you.
As someone who knows you, but also as a listener and a follower. And also as a mom who's, you know, my 18, almost 19-year-old daughter listens to you sometimes. Like it made you human in a way that I think some people, like they create this kind of brand themselves.
Yeah.
And I see it in the spiritual space. I mean, it's definitely in the food space, but I see it in the spiritual space and that is off-putting to me.
Sometimes. Yeah.
You know, I really love those raw moments where, you know, like that podcast where you're like, this made me feel things that sucked.
Yeah.
It made me realize, you know, that day that I'm on the floor with my dog, like bawling my eyes out, yelling at the top of my lungs, you know, to the roof of my house, all the while my ego in there going, you were crazy. Yeah. Nobody's home. You know, I was like, I'm not alone.
And I always try to say, like, that's why I am obsessed with Wayne Dyer. I listen to him. I truly believe, like, if I ever had the opportunity to sit and have dinner with someone who's passed on, it's either him or George Washington, just because in everything that he writes and every speaking arrangement that he's done and everything like that, he always says, just remember, we're all one. I'm not above you. I'm not below you. You're not below me. I'm human. I just want to share and I want to help and I want to be of service. And like, that's how I try to come off is like, yo, I'm so fucking human. You have no idea. Like I have, and guys, like seriously, I have dishes in my sink right now. I'm just like letting out all my dirty laundry. Like I'm so human. I get triggered. Probably not as much as maybe somebody else, but I've learned the tools to get through it, you know?
Well, I mean, you just touched on something really important that you and I both know as content creators.
Mm-hmm.
What people see online is what they are allowed to see.
See, exactly.
It is a very small fraction, percentage, whatever, of what's really going on. And the larger majority of people are not going to show you the shitty parts because nobody wants to see that.
Right. Exactly. You're looking at someone's highlight reel.
Yeah. And the things that they're happy and comfortable showing you. And there are some content creators out there that really do share like the raw, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But that too, sometimes for me is like, oh, I'm consuming this. And as an empath, I'm like, oh, well now I feel heavy and now I'm crying and I didn't go through that. But I'm crying like I did, you know?
It's hard.
No.
It is hard. It's so true. Choose what you consume. And I'm not saying to delete every account or anything
I think for me, it just means streamlining, right? Like, used to, there were no rules to when I could scroll, how long I could scroll, what apps I would scroll on. Like, I'm watching TV, scrolling through my Instagram. Look to my Pinterest, go back to my Facebook, hit Twitter. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like all of a sudden your phone's like, oh, your phone productivity today. Your screen's been on 8 hours.
Yeah, what? I know. That Sunday message that I get, that's like, you've been on, and I was like, oh shit.
You're like, if I'm averaging 6 to 8 hours a day on a device, Like,
that's scary.
Why do I work from home? Like, that was my first like real wake up call when I realized, like, I turned that little productivity tracker on my phone. I was like, I think I'm spending way too much time. Like, it's like a full-time job. I'm staring at this little thing. Yeah. And most of it is not creating my thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's yes, sharing my thing. And then yes, like I'm telling myself I'm going and supporting everybody else to support and follow. Right. So I got to make sure I like comment and like, and engage and go. But at the same time, all the while there's little Megan there, little inner child, little sweet soul. She is. And she's just taking it all in and feeling everybody's everything. And so it's not that you have to unfollow all the accounts. Just maybe don't take it all in 6 hours a day. Maybe give yourself right. Sunday off to start. That's how I started.
That's a good idea.
Kind of instituted a no social media, internet, like, rule on Sundays, aside from, like, Googling, like, a fact.
Right.
You know, like.
That's a good way to start, just taking one day off, which you should be taking off. Regardless.
Well, and it's like a self-care thing that way, right? You can like really fit into that self-care hashtag. I'm doing this for myself, right? Like it's like a Sunday self-care day. And then I found that when I did it on a Sunday, after a few Sundays of that, I was like, I kind of really like it. And on Monday, I'm actually in a really good mood when I used to be pretty piss poor on a Monday. And so then I wonder if I did it Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
And now that's my kind of thing. I allow myself now 10 to 15 minutes each Saturday and Sunday if I want to post something. Most times these days I don't, because I know that kind of like puts me back in the loop of engaging with comments and making sure that people know that when they take the time out of their day to come comment on my stuff, that I appreciate it. I love having them there, right? It's like this right. community. So like a lot of times I won't even post on those days because I know that I have set this thing up for myself to help heal myself where I can't engage the way I want to. So if I do it anyway and post that post and then don't allow myself to engage, I'm going to beat myself up. So it's not worth it.
Right.
So in a way, choosing to not push out content is also choosing to consume my own.
Right.
Internet.
Absolutely. It's a boundary.
Right.
It's a boundary. And sometimes it's going to be hard because you're a content creator. You know what I mean? You create content on the internet. That's your job. And it's like.
That was such a different space 9 years ago too. Right. Let me say, before Instagram, before
TikTok,
before Pinterest, like it was so fun.
Right. Now it's very cutthroat. It's so cutthroat. And it really does. Like, I'm fortunate enough to have a decent following on TikTok. And I just, you know, there's so many of those, whatever, marketing gurus saying, you got to post 10 to 20 times a day. And I just remembered saying like, I can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna create content to try to help people. That's all I can do.
Yeah. I mean, once they started getting to that too, like it's like that for every platform, right? I mean, look, I'm kind of like the dinosaur in the equation. A lot of people come into an internet focused job or a content creator job or influencer job and they're out pretty quickly once they see like what you actually have to do to like, get the partnerships and get the jobs. And
it's like, a lot of content.
Yeah. I mean, I've created over 1,000 recipes on my website over the years. And that's just like the recipes. So that's not like the photo shoots, the stories, the Insta, whatever. But I've also been around long enough to watch, you know, Facebook have its heyday, MySpace have its heyday, Pinterest, like when it was invite only, then all of a sudden it boomed, then it died, now it's back. You know, and it's just like, it really does help me having that history and understanding the platforms in that way. Mm-hmm. That they're going to come and go. I can't control those. It also helps me to go, I'm okay putting a boundary there where I don't put boundaries for work or my own website. My client work I do outside. We do a lot of photography work for clients that never like makes the internet with our name on them. I focus heavily on those. And I find that I'm happier that way. Mm. Because really, I mean, the social media accounts are great. They're fun. That's how they should be. But when they start making you feel bad.
Yeah, right.
And you realize it's something you have zero control over. Like, yeah, you could have a million followers on Instagram today. Great. What happens tomorrow when they change the platform and the algorithm or TikTok blows up and takes them over and all of a sudden, like, Instagram's the new Facebook?
Right. Yeah. That's what I've learned as well, is like, I don't put all my eggs in one basket.
Yeah.
Because obviously I love TikTok and I love the platform and everything like that. But I realize that there's a lot of apps that were just like TikTok. Remember, what's that one that was 6 seconds or so? You know what I mean? Like all those Dub Smash. There was,
oh, I don't even, I know
why. And everything like that. And I just know that, like, if you want to take one of my courses, if you want to work with me, if you want to join the Modern Mystic Society, I always realize that the people that are meant to work with me, they head on over to my website and they learn more. They get into my email address, you know?
It was funny because I don't even know how I found you.
I think you said the podcast.
Well, I mean, I know the podcast, but I don't know how I found you. It's like a rabbit hole.
Huh.
But I'm so glad that I did, because you're.
I'm so glad you did. I'm so glad you did. But now I'm like, how'd she find me?
No, I have no clue. It really. When we moved back to Georgia, we made the decision to put our son in a small Montessori school as opposed to the public school where we're living, and it was like a 1 hour each morning, 1 hour each afternoon commute. And so that's kind of when I really broke into podcast. And what's funny was I was listening to like the Oprah Super Soul podcast, and that led me to like Eckhart Tolle podcast, and that led me to something else. And then the next thing I know, I was like listening to your podcast. So
okay. Yeah. That works. I can show it. Eckhart Tolle. Super Soul.
Look at that little trickle down. Let's do the tree on that one. The thought bubble right. On that one. But no, it was that when I came to your content, like, and I started listening to you and I started watching the things that you're putting, and even like the fun TikTok videos, like they always feel good to me. Like everything you do, even when you're like, this sucks, it comes from a good place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I, like I said, it's just like, if I trigger you, I'm sorry. If you feel the need to go and write a hurtful comment on another platform.
If you trigger someone, they should first, before they write that hurtful comment, ask themselves why, because that's where the growth is, right?
Right.
I mean, if they're truly listening to you, which I was looking to grow. I mean, I kind of felt like I was losing it when I reached out to you when you did the Limelight Academy. And I told my doctors, I told my husband, I was like, I just don't even know. Like every morning I'm like awake between 2 and 3, and it's just like, wow, it's ringing in my ears, and it's just like all like this just feels like stuff's constantly dumping in my brain and I don't know where it's coming from. And I cry, oh my God, I cry. You know?
Yeah.
And well, then I found you and I was like, Oh,
thank you.
Okay.
Oh.
I can handle this. This is like worth me consuming and listening to.
Oh, you're gonna make me cry, Meg. Jesus.
Well, considering I cried in the first 4 minutes, I'll be fair.
Jesus, this is a blubbering mess. Oh my gosh. But no, like I just know the things that I have learned along my path can help others, and that's why I have this podcast. That's it. You know, it's not.
I keep coming back to your podcast because it's real. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, I feel like when people start, you know, editing them down and, you know, in some instances, that's great. Like, I really love that, like, Dolly America podcast, because I'm kind of obsessed
with
Dolly Parton. Like, that, in that way, I love it. But when it's just someone like you that's like, this is me, and this is, like, how I live my life, and, the, you know, like, especially with something as personal and deep as spiritualism and, you know, being an empath and being someone that lives their life intuitively, it was so refreshing. And it was like, I would go and I would listen to other things after I found it. Then I would just come back. And that, I was like, it's just, I feel like there's no BS here. Like, so I appreciate that. Cause I'm really good after 9 years of sniffing out the shit.
Yeah.
So my mom's listening.
I appreciate that. I know. I just, like I said, I just try my best. That's all you can do. You know what I mean?
Yes, like, I mean, that it's so simple.
It is. It's simple. So, talk about the things you're passionate about. Shine your light. Talk about your struggles. I think the biggest thing, and I think I've gotten a lot of feedback from like my vulnerable shows where I talk about my healing, and I share the things that trigger me, you know, and I think that people, those are the ones that I get the most emails about.
Oh, I'm sure. Because yeah. those are the ones that people relate to the most, and yeah. they don't talk to other people. You know, most people don't want to share those things. They're not comfortable right. to talk about. They're definitely not comfortable like putting on the internet for the whole world to critique.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's like deep, dark, personal stuff. And there's, you know, a lot of healing that comes in sharing that, but there's also opening yourself up to the potential for a lot of criticism there.
Yeah.
Very vulnerable space. And I totally respect that because there's not right. a lot of people that are willing to yeah. do that. But you know, when you know that what you put out is what's attracted back to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's where you lead your business from. Like,
right.
even when it's uncomfortable, you're choosing to put content out there that people can then come and consume, and it may resonate with them in a way that eventually leads them to the greatest healing of their life. I just think that's says a lot to who you are, your character.
Meg. Jesus, girl.
Oh, shut up. You're not going to cry. Oh my God. Yeah, I'm not trying to make you cry.
Oh my gosh.
I seriously, from you know, my heart to your listeners' ears, like as someone who has not only followed you, you know, but knows you personally now and has worked through one of your courses with you for true personal like self-healing and answers to my own deepest, darkest questions. I feel like I can say all that.
You are just amazing. I love you. I really do. I really do. Oh my gosh.
But go and give her a 5-star rating. Go to Apple, go to your iTunes. Stars.
No. Oh, you're so, oh. I'm like blushing over here, guys. but yeah, I don't know. I totally like get what you're saying. I really do. And I realize too. And my guides have helped me with this because I feel like even if you listen to my podcast from the beginning, I really did, I don't know, I've learned to get more comfortable along the way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I even in my own voice, like if you listen to my first podcast as opposed to like this podcast where I'm, what, 18 months, more than 18 months in, I've grown along the way and I've become more comfortable with talking about the topics that I wasn't comfortable about talking. So it really is a process. And I've realized too, and my guides continuously say this to me, they basically say like, you're being judged regardless. I'm on the freaking internet saying that I talk to dead people. Okay. Like seriously, think about it. Like I'm on the internet saying that I talk to dead people, but I'm also not afraid to speak my truth and all of that. And I'm sure it's triggering. I know it's triggering for some people, but I see the comments and everything like that. And I realize that it's like, they're not my people.
Yeah.
It's okay. They're not my people, you know?
And I think as in anything, look, I mean, I am from the South. I was raised in a, you know, Church of Christ household. My grandfather was a preacher, you know, very, very strict. And they have very real idea of the way spirituality works.
Yeah.
And anything outside of that, it is unacceptable to even entertain. Like I'm trying to think because I have no desire to polarize anyone. What is right for someone else is not right for all of us.
Exactly.
And where one person finds spiritual comfort and peace and the ability to go through their life feeling like, you know, there's something else waiting for them, who am I to judge? Right? So if that's like the structure of Christianity for you, great. You do you. For me, I have some personal experiences, not actually with the church, but with people in the church that forced me to take a more spiritual lifestyle. Right. So now I look at things very differently. When I was a child, I was in Sunday school every Sunday. I was there whenever the doors were open. I was at VBS school, you know, like I was like the little Bible toting little.
Wow. You know, so I mean, my grandmother's the deacon of the Episcopal Church.
Yeah.
You know, so I get it. I get it. And it's very, I mean, that's another conversation we can have. Just really.
That would be a very popular podcast.
Right, that would be, oh my God. Can you imagine what would happen? And something like, yeah. I know that eventually I have to have that conversation about religion, mm-hmm. because I know people have asked me what exactly, like, what my religion is. I'm a spiritualist. I believe in life after death. I believe do unto others as you want done to yourself. I believe that there is no one religion that is right. I believe that we are all one. That's my religion.
I feel know? Like we are on the same plane.
Yeah.
And I never put all my eggs in one basket.
Right.
Right. Life has taught me that I personally, myself, mm-hmm. cannot do that. When I do that, I have experienced some of the deepest hurt.
Yeah.
So, therefore, I never, especially about someone's spirituality and their belief systems, I will never, ever question anyone.
I will never, ever.
That is like your sacred space. Yeah. To you, unless you want to come at me about mine, and then we can absolutely have a conversation.
Right, exactly.
You know, but I don't think there's anything wrong with anything that makes you feel like, gives you a
hope.
This.
Yeah.
Gives you hope.
Right.
Shows you how to treat other people as human beings and fellow, you know, just souls having a human experience.
Right.
If you know, the structure of organized religion is that for you, I think that's great because it's readily accessible and it's everywhere. You just pick the one that's right for you.
Absolutely.
For people like us, it's a little bit harder to find. Right. I don't fit in a box. I'm not in a neat little package. Yeah. I come with a lot of trauma. I come with a lot of life trauma. I come with a lot of past life trauma. That's very, very hard topic to talk about with people in my family. They have, you know, some people are open to it. Other people are not. Mm-hmm. It's a difficult conversation. But right. I know.
Right.
Without a shadow of a doubt. And that's just me. And that's okay. And people may think I'm crazy. I don't really care.
Right. No, it's like I said, like I am never, ever going to bash your beliefs. Like I don't, if you're a good person, if you're good to me, I'm good to you. That's all that matters. I don't, well, you know what I mean? Like
if someone's really on a spiritual journey themselves,
right.
I'm not going to be bashing someone else's belief systems. If you feel conviction in a way that you want to, you know, sell, in lack of a better term, your belief system to someone, It's not through negativity that you're going to get anywhere. Anyway.
Right. Exactly. Right?
So, you know, the best thing for people like you and me and to do is to lead by example.
Right.
Right. And to make sure that when people come to us, they leave feeling more fulfilled than they did when they came in. You know, for me, medium's easy. It's food. For you, it's a little bit trickier. Sure.
A little bit. A little bit, but I think I've just realized, you know, especially if you're a spiritual reader, because I know that I have a lot of people like, you know, doing tarot readings and everything like that. I just feel like when you're starting out and you're so worried because you want to give the best reading and you want to shed light and you want to help your client and everything like that, I've just learned you could do all the rituals and everything like that. But at the end of the day, just coming from a place of love. Mm-hmm. And that's like before every reading, I say the same thing. I am a clear and open channel in which spirit speaks through. That's it.
Yeah. It's interesting since we moved to this space, you know, but no one else knows, our home was built on quartz deposit, a white mm-hmm. quartz deposit. So there's all these amazing chunks of raw quartz just that pop up like vegetables in a garden every day. And so every day when I wake up, I go outside and I have my one favorite one that I'm holding right now because it fits my mom. And I literally sit there and the first people that I express gratitude towards and thankfulness for are the people the previous day that taught me the most. And usually that is through something that either triggered me or was on the verge of triggering me. Right. And that has been another way that I've chosen to consume that kind of trigger that helps me.
That's genius.
Well, you know, people say love and light a lot to the point that it's kind of like when you say it, it's almost like someone Southern going, bless your heart. That's not a good thing.
Right.
It's truly Southern to go, well, bless your heart.
Yeah.
There's some hiddenness. So it's like, so it's like, I just didn't love and lie to them. I'm like, no, you are really oh, there's a lot of underlying like,
right.
Shit in that.
Right. It should be like love, light, trauma, and shadow work.
So every day, but you know, I walk outside. I have this great garden now that I started. I had black thumb prior to coronavirus. So my first activity I decided was just to learn things. As long as I was home, I was going to just spend all that time I was consuming and put it into learning things. So I've learned all sorts of things, but gardening is by far my favorite. It's where I meditate now. I do it while I'm actually gardening. I just train my thought process, if that makes sense. But it always starts now with that, you know, if it's my parents that trigger me one day, like the day before, I'm like, I'm really grateful for my parents and that opportunity to explore that topic and why it bothers me so much.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes it's somebody on the internet I don't know. And sometimes it's my friends. And sometimes it's my dog because
he's
a jerk when he wants to.
Right, exactly. But I love that.
Me coming from a place of thankfulness and gratitude about it, it chooses, you know, it kind of alters that choose what you consume. It like kind of changes the way you perceive it, and the way it comes in, and the way our brains process it and our hearts process it. Mm-hmm. And that's been that simple thing. So easy. And at first, it was really hard to do, actually, because I was like, I'm actually not grateful for that conversation. Ruin my day. But now I see it's one of the greatest rituals, so to speak, for lack of a term I've ever put.
Blown away. I am just blown away. I swear to God, like every time I have a conversation with another light worker, I'm just like, I never even thought about that, but that's genius. Guys, well, like seriously, take the trigger and turn it into gratitude.
You're thankful for it because that's where the growth comes, right? If it doesn't hurt, you're not growing. If it doesn't suck, you're not growing. If it doesn't make you question things, you're not growing. I mean, I'm about to be 42, and my whole life, I really thought, like, once you hit 40, you know what you're doing. And I have no clue what I'm doing. I'm just winging it. And I find the things that make me feel good and you know, give me peace in my heart about where we are in this world, and helps me be a better mom to my kids and be a better wife to my husband and be a better friend to my friends. And, you know, in turn, a better content creator for my followers, you know, but it all comes back to that place of, I just don't want to feel bad anymore.
Yeah.
That's where it started. I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want to be sad. I don't want to think other people are out there doing a better job than me. I don't want to lay in this bed and watch, you know, everybody else go out in the world and me not be able to get out of my own head long enough to do it too.
Right. There's the day you decide you're done is the most powerful day of your life.
Oh man. And I think too, like for someone who battled depression and anxiety as a preteen, teenager, young adult, young mother, to feel like you've gotten to a place where you had a handle on those things and then really be taken down, you know, 10 levels in a relatively short amount of time. Like within a year, I went from feeling like I was on top of the world, everything was going right.
Yeah.
To, you know, being stripped down all by, you know, just choosing to have a surgery where my foot wouldn't hurt. That's what started it. Yeah. I mean, I've been on the journey my whole life. You know, I've got all sorts of.
I remember you were saying like, there's been so many instances throughout your life where it should have been a wake up.
It should have. I mean, you can ask my parents. I am probably one of the most stubborn pig-headed people on the planet. I was adopted at 2 days old, you know, put into this family, very loving, very nurturing, but along the way somewhere, once I figured out like the truth to my truth, you know, it made me angry. And you know, I spent a lot of years in a very dark place, and I felt like after I had my daughter, I kind of chose to climb out of that and rise above it, as you do when you have kids. You don't want them to see you struggle, whatever. But you know, the after that foot surgery and going into that downward, like dark, you say dark journey of the, what is it? The dark journey of the soul. Dark night of the soul. That's what it felt like for me. It was like a reckoning with myself, and there was no one to fix it but me. Doctors were perplexed. I couldn't do my job. I couldn't eat food. I couldn't taste recipes I was developing for clients. I couldn't even put things in my mouth without a violent physical reaction that would sometimes put me in the hospital. I lost down to almost 100 pounds. I'm 5'11". That's not a good thing. And it was really just, I felt so defeated, because when I woke up and I realized, I was like, is this like, okay, on top of the physical stuff, now I'm depressed.
Right?
Because I just sat there and like took in all this stuff for months on end on top of whatever, you know, the pain medications and medications they put you on for surgeries, whatever that does to your brain. And then just all that time alone with my ego. Nowhere else to go.
Never a fun time.
No one else to talk to. I just choose now. I choose to live my life in a way that every single thing I do, I try to ask myself first, like, which way is this going to go? Could this hurt anybody else? I really feel like, does this need to be out there?
Yeah.
I mean,
you live your life with intention.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that's really what it is. It's like, you finally decided to live your life with intention. And I think that was it for me too. It was like, you know, we hear it all along that we have the power to manifest the life that we desire. We always have the choice to create our reality. And until you realize you have the power of intention by your side at any given time, you're going to be in that victim mentality.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, obviously it's easier to point a finger, right? I could blame like any number of people for all the things that, you know, soul journeys I've been through in this lifetime, lessons I learned. I could blame any number of people. And for years I did. I pointed a finger at a lot of people. It wasn't actually until I met my husband, Todd, and felt completely and totally supported for the first time ever. And able to truly just be my weird and wacky self, that I was able to kind of, you know, start healing and stop coming from a place of fear, and start coming from a place of love. Cause I knew I had like a support system behind me that loved me no matter how weird I got. I mean, and I get weird sometimes, like I say things and he just looks at me and I'm like, it's okay. You don't have to respond. It's good. Right. It's good. We're good.
Oh my gosh,
this went on
for hours. Like we just put the buttercream frosting on. We can decorate this cake and add more icing and everything, but oh my god. So for anyone who's listening right now who maybe has a similar path just like you, who maybe is waking up, maybe they've experienced some really crazy trauma and heartbreak, what are three pieces of advice that you would give them right now?
Well, first one's really easy. Take a deep breath. Just absolutely take a deep breath. Just stop.
Yeah.
Close your eyes. Like I put my hand on my stomach because like that's where the majority of my physical ailments are, that I've manifested in throughout my life. Like that's kind of where they live. So I support myself there. And I just, when I'm feeling like everything's way too big, I just take a deep breath. And I recall the other moments in my life when things that have made me feel similar. And just by doing that, yes, it hurts to recall those things, but also brings attention to the fact that, oh, I made it through that.
Yeah.
I overcame that. I learned X, Y, Z, A, B, C lesson from that. This experience prepared me to welcoming this person into my life. That heartbreak prepared me to love my husband. Mm-hmm. You can't see it at the time,
Right.
You just have to
play this 2020.
So yeah, I mean, I think if you just take a minute and stop and put it in perspective, the things that could happen in a day that will absolutely tear your life apart is a very short list.
Yeah.
Right? When you take stock of what's valuable, mm-hmm. everything that you can probably breathe through. And it might suck to get through it, but you will, because I mean, as we've all lived in our house and seen, the world continues to go on. Yeah. I've been here for 5 months and the world's still turning. Yeah. So, you know, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
The second thing is really just pay attention in all the different ways that you consume, because I think that when you think of every action you take throughout the day is a choice.
Yeah.
Whether that's listening to someone, whether that's, you know, even inviting a voice into your home, you know, to blare out, for, you know, into your home, like for your children to hear, for you to hear, even if you're not actively listening, you're consuming it.
Right. Your subconscious mind is still gathering the information.
Yeah. So maybe instead of just letting that TV mindlessly go on the news outlet, mm-hmm. maybe turn on some music that, you know, makes you feel good. Or you put on that podcast that, you know, that person always makes you take a deep dive into yourself and think deeper and learn something about yourself that you didn't know before. You yeah. know, just change what you're listening to.
Yeah.
And my third one is just eat good food. That always makes me happy. Eat good food.
Right.
I that's a silly piece of advice, but if you're putting junk in, you're getting junk out. Right. So it's another way to choose what you consume, but I find that if you make, not just with the food, but if you make positive choices for yourself throughout the day, one little one leads to like a slightly bigger right. one, a slightly bigger one. And,
right.
you know, by the end of the day, you've made all these choices that kind of fulfill your heart and lift up your spirit and in turn allows you to do that for the people you care about.
Absolutely. I 5,000% agree, you know, and I think that it's like, sometimes the choices, they don't have to be monumental choices.
Oh,
you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be quit your job and then go travel. Sometimes choosing to charge your phone in the living room as opposed to the bedroom at yeah. night.
Oh, that's a huge one.
Choice. Simple yeah. choice, but really good.
Super simple. You know, not choosing to go on your social media scroll from your bed.
Right.
Need to get up and have a cup of coffee and maybe wake up first before you right. turn on the news.
Yeah. Waking up and doing 15 minutes of meditation before running to your phone.
Or you can just lie in the bed.
That make powerful, powerful yeah. impacts on your life. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it's all so small. And I think all of my greatest life questions so far, that as someone who has been searching for her truth as long as she's been on this planet, I feel like my greatest lessons I've learned are the really stupid easy.
There he is.
Oh, my son popped in the room. This cat. You know him. No one else.
I know him. Oh, I like your haircut.
It went long, man.
Oh my gosh.
That's my clue. That's my cue.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know what time. It's mom time.
I know, right? But Meg, thank you so, so much for coming on. I mean, like I said, we can sit here for hours and just
talk. I'll do it.
I'll do it. I'll do it. You're coming back on soon, honey.
Woo! I love it. I love it. Thank you for having me. Thank you for being my first podcast ever. And I really do appreciate you giving the space to talk about something that really is so deeply personal to me. I think, yeah. you know, being in the food space, I feel like I don't really get a chance to connect with people on a level that's so deep very often.
Right. Well, now you're a modern mystic, honey.
Oh, yes, I did join. Yes. That is my new, you know, I taught myself how to garden. Cash and I took stop motion animation together.
Yep.
We've done all sorts of things during quarantine, but now I joined the Modern Mystic Society. Yes. I need some lovely ladies in my life.
Yes. You're going to love it. Guys, it's always a pleasure, and I will see you soon.